Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, my mic was up. I will pick up and start over. Our topic for today is life is available only in the present moment. Scripture is Isaiah 43:18-19. And it reads thus, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That is the first scripture which came to me along with the topic. Life is available only in the present moment. That lines up perfectly from my perspective with the scripture that I just read. I want you to think about it for a moment. Present moment, the now, right now, where you are, that's your present moment. What life, that life is available only in the present moment, but if we are focusing on something that has gone on before or something that's yet to come, we're going to miss out. That was what God was telling his people. He said, forget the former thing. Remember? Life is available only in the present. Present, the now. So if we concern about things that happened before, we I'm going to miss out on what's happening now. God made it clear. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If you're standing there in what you define as being a chaos, a confusion, and you're constantly focusing on what took place before or how you got into that place, you're going to miss out on what God is doing. God made it clear. He says, I'm doing a new thing. And he asks you a question. Do you not perceive it? The next scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And it starts out in the present of God and of Christ Jesus. He said that we're living in the present moment. Therefore, Timothy says, in the present of who? God, the who resides in the present moment. God and his beloved Son, Christ Jesus. And what it goes on. We could stop there, but let's go on. Who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearance and the kingdom and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And you have to finish that. What choice did God give you? So, what's in the present where we live in? God and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And what would Jesus do? He's going to judge the living and the dead. What does that say? That says that nobody is going get away. Everybody's going to have to come before the judge. Then now, why, wonder why God gave me this topic. The world, when you look around the world now, the earth, it's in chaos about everywhere you look. And I see America is at a point of no return or slash a crossroads. It's at a crossroads. That was the vision, the image that the Holy Spirit gave me, that America is at a point of no return, at a crossroads. You say, why? Why are you making those harsh statements about you judging? No, I'm not judging. I'm at the fruit. And the fruit that I see now, it's sour. It's decaying. Why do I say that? Because people are following the big lie. They prefer to listen to an immoral individual. They prefer to run candidates and vote for candidates that has no understanding of the office that they're running for. When the people they're supposed to represent, the people, they don't represent the people that they claim that they're running to serve. Why do I say that? Challenge you to just look, just sit with them and listen to what they are saying. Listen to what they are saying that they will do and see what does that line up with. One of the things I want you to, the image I want you to think about, I want you to fix it in your head, a crossroad. A one that's going north, one that's going south, one that's going east, and one that's going west. The four directions. Now, what I like for you to do, you put it on a piece of paper and stand it up and put a circle and put yourself in the middle where the two axes cross, the two lines cross. And you got one arrow pointing down, one arrow pointing up. And you have two arrows just pointing on the horizontal. I mean, on the horizon. Yes. And what happens? When you look in either direction, you see basically the same thing. But when you look at the one that's north and south, you've got one arrow that's pointing upward and the other arrow that's pointing down. Now, you're at the crossroads. You've got a lot of people now who are at the crossroads, people who went through the pandemic and did not catch the virus, and people who went through the pandemic and caught the virus. And some of those, they're questioning their relationship creating. Some of them are wondering why they were not protected from that virus. Because they went to church, they sat in the pews, they paid their tithes. Now let's take a moment and do the tithing bit. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, it tells us how we're supposed to give. We are not part of the Old Testament. That's foundation. But the giving now is not a law. The law stated that you must give a tenth. That was the law, based on what's in your heart. What is it that God put in your heart and that he says that you should give? It could be 10%. It could be 15%. It could be 20%. There is no fixed amount. He said, when you look at it, you give from the heart, not from the law. I know what I'm saying is going to be upset, but that's fine with me. My thing is, God is doing what? A new thing. And he says that we forget the former thing. Do not dwell on the past. Now see, if in fact we want to use the past as a base, gives us the rationale for tithing, that's fine. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, the giving is not based on some law. It's based on what's in your heart. Just like he took the Ten Commandments and cut it down to two. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, etc., etc. It's one. So now if you love God, you love him with all your heart, you love him with all your mind, you love God, what he put in your heart is going to determine what you're going to give. And he said, the second is like unto it. You love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you said, now, how does that all roll into giving? It does, because if you're giving based on what's in your heart and love is in your heart for God, then you got love for you love yourself. Excuse me. And because you love yourself, then you love your neighbor with the same type of love that you love God and you love yourself. And if you do that, your giving is going to be determined by the relationship that you have with God, the type of love you have for God, the type of love you have for yourself. That means your neighbor, you want your neighbor to have what you have or close to it, not so your neighbor's covering what you have. But the whole point matter is a lot of these guys nowadays, some of these pastors, you have to bring your W-2 form with you while you're going through the membership class. And you sit with the pastor and they determine what your tithe is going to be, what you're going to pay. That's not biblical. To really get into the word for yourself and not just listen to what people tell you, what people say. The apostles, they didn't put a fix, you go and do this. And then if you go back and Father Abraham, he gave a tenth of the spoil, not a tenth of his total value. Read it and see what it says. The Holy Spirit to really open your eyes and your heart and your mind so that you can come into an understanding. And again, at the crossroads, that's one, just one thing that's got us there. The other one, division. We got red states, blue states, and it's just ridiculous. And you got the evangelicals and prophesying that the immoral individual that's running for election and that held office was the one that God chose. And they've given up everything but the kitchen sink to them, to him. Now, why did I say that we're at the crossroads? I want you to think about this. When you read, I know when I read the word holds me accountable for my act and my behavior, for my thoughts, and for what comes out of my mouth. And if it doesn't line up with the word, then God is going to hold me accountable. And if it's not line up with his word, is it line up with the word of the devil? If it's not line up with the word as written, they're saying that they're serving God, then we must ask ourselves, what God? Are they into idolatry? Even God, is they still, God says that we shouldn't have a graven image of him. Jesus made it clear, we must love God. We have no other God before him. Think about it. So now if what they say and what they believe doesn't line up with God's word as written, then what is it? What a conclusion you're gonna reach. And then you go on and you see how politicians misrepresent the word so long as it empowers them to stay in power. Life is available only in the present moment. So therefore, what I'm saying is this. What's the quality of life? What quality of life do you want? How can you impact the quality of life, your quality of life, your neighbor's quality of life? Go back to Timothy again, chapter 1, verse 2. It says we pray for all people. Pray for all people. Pray for those who are in authority. Well, what do we, why do we do that? Be clear, God never tells us to do something without giving us an explanation. Paul's understanding out of Paul's relationship with God and the Messiah, the Savior. Think about all of this. We just came through a pandemic. Bad pandemic. Took a lot of lives. We had people playing politics with the solution to that. But they should do crazy things. Now, those persons, some of those persons who were not prepared spiritually, what I mean, not prepared spiritually, that they didn't know the word. I came through it. I didn't come through the worst one. I went and got the shots. I'm not saying that everybody should go get the shots. But, again, what do we say? All knowledge comes from God. Those individuals that created, produced, or made it, the vaccine, that information that they use, that revelation knowledge came from the Creator. Creator is the one that gave them the knowledge on how to do what they did. And we who got the shots, we still had to believe. We couldn't just get the shots and the shot don't take care of everything. We had to believe that God was in this process. And as a result of that, our quality of life filled with fear. As we continue down that path, what do we see? We say we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we walk by sight, we will wind up going through all kinds of changes. We will be fearful and all of that. But if we walk by faith, our faith says what? Our faith says that we are protected and God will provide. Living, again, life is available only in the present moment. Now people are so excited. We're going back. We'd be able to do all the things that we were doing before. That's not true. That is not from the Creator. Now, if we look at this cross that I said, we're the crossroads. And I put W in the one for east and west. And I put WW, which is flat. As far as you can see, either way. The change, the new thing, you look up. You see what the new thing is, what God is trying to say to us, what God is doing. But see, you got to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We have to know that we're in the presence of God. Know that we are in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. We have to know that. If we don't know that we're in the presence of God, we cannot access the power and authority of God's word. We are just, as they say, going along to stay along. Now, I want us all to think about this. I'm not here to try to tell you what to do. I've resented people trying to tell me what to do, what to think. I am telling you, based on my 77 years, based on my travel around the earth, I haven't found any philosophy. I haven't found any spiritual being. I haven't found any theories that was more accurate than the Word of God. And as we, even in West Africa, I was there twice, the thing that really impressed me is that Muslim and Christians were working together. That impressed me. You said, why? Because if I'm to win souls for Christ, then the people see me must interact with me. They must come to know me. And if we say that their belief system is not as good as our belief system, they will see it. They will come to know it for themselves. And because of that, they'll be drawn unto Jesus through us, and Jesus will draw them unto the Father. And as you continue to go around, even in Trinidad, saw how people were working together. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all of them, they're just, everybody's all lovey-dovey. I didn't say that. Jesus didn't say it either. And I didn't write that scripture down. Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace. He came to bring the sword. And I want you to look it up, since I don't have that scripture memorized, chapter and verse. And see how that conflict with what some of the things that you heard and some of the things that you were told. And see if it's true. When I found it to be true, that meant that some of the other stuff that I was told is not. And basically, the whole thing of loving God. And when I think about it, if it was that loving, then why would the beloved son make the statement that he made? I'm just perplexed sometimes at how we in America have gotten into this division. Again, red state, conservative, progressive. Whenever the term conservative is not even biblical, but liberal is. And the enemy has even attempted to distort that. Look in the King James Version, and you see that liberals in Proverbs. And there may be other places in the Bible as well, but I just know about the one in Proverbs. A liberal soul. It is interesting. Very interesting. And I challenge people. If, in fact, conservatives are so good, why wasn't Jesus a conservative? As we look and we see how conservatives was played out, you holding it, you conserving it, you keeping it. And whenever you go and look at the word liberal, I won't say progressive either. A liberal soul. He's sharing. He gives freely. He shows mercy. Just. So, if you think about it, it's not just justice for a few and not for others. And that's in Micah, verse 8. Read it for yourself. And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the true meaning. And don't be like I believe in the scientific method. And the scientific method does not recognize the spirit, much less the Holy Spirit. And you live in the present. And if you live in the present, the past is taken with take care of itself, it's taking care of itself. That was the present before you got to this present. And you try to live in the future. Future never comes. You're always in the present. So that future becomes the present. Tomorrow becomes today. yesterday becomes today, because yesterday is gone and you were in the day. Future doesn't come, you in the day. And I want you to think about it so you don't be hoodwinked. Living, you must live in the present if you're going to find joy, peace, and a quiet place. Because when you think about it, if you're constantly talking about the future and you're using up resources now, then you're going to get them back in the future. And the day comes again. You've got to use those resources up in your tails, then you can get them back in the future. Are you looking back in the past and trying, all kinds of excuses you're making. You can't go back there and get the resources that you misused back there. Now you can learn from that. You can learn from it. We're at the crossroads. Apply words. We can have to just apply the words. Not sit up here and talk about the end of the world. I mean, the end, I've been saying the end of the world ever since Jesus left. This was written in 70 AD. They were looking for the end. When we sit there, if you sit there and wait, the world going to pass you by. Our format is 30 minutes, one over. Then we have 15 minutes of question, answer, or dialogue. And one of the things is, our questions, our dialogue, or our statement must be scriptural, or the request is in search of a scriptural solution. We're dealing with solutions and not the problem. God knows what the problem is. You know what the problem is. And you focus on the problem, you're never going to. In the present, you're going to be constantly focusing on the problem. And you're going to miss God. Presence of God, if you're in the presence of God, why are you focusing on the problem? I'm going to open the mic. Oh, I see we have two earlier, now we have one. Questions or comment?
Shalom.
Yes.
Yeah, no questions or comments, just listening for information.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that topic was given to me minutes before.
Right.
And the scripture, the same. And one of the things is that I learned no sermon or message is complete until it's delivered. And then
right.
It's not complete because until God will take it then. To, that's right. Take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of my training, and it's part of what I believe. My training was that a sermon, you're like a doctor. They did the analysis. You're like a doctor, and you have to know what your first patient problems are, so you know what to prescribe for them.
Right.
And we have an assistant. We have the Holy Spirit assisting us. Mm-hmm. So we put the word out, knowing that for somebody there's a solution to something that they would find in the word, and they would give God the glory.
Glory, yes, sir.
It's not about me.
Because
if it was about me and me only, I wouldn't be here doing this. My relationship with the Creator and the Creator chose me at a time like this, and the Creator's going to hold me accountable.
Right.
And so it's just like he's holding me accountable for the vision, for the radio station, for the sports academy, and all of that. And the prayer ministry. And so because of that, not only is he holding the bloggers accountable, he's holding us all accountable. Second part of the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, who will judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearance and his kingdom. And Paul said, I give you this charge. The thing about it is, we who say we are chosen by God, we have to make sure, like I told my children, if God ain't called you, stay out of the pulpit. And I told young people who thought they might have been called, my thing is that you need to make sure that you're called by God, because if you're not, Satan's going to use you to do his work. And
right.
Most of us can think about times whenever we got false teaching and false doctrine from the church. So that's one of the things that I try to make sure that my message apply to anybody, white, black, blue, purple, green. They can take this word and apply it to their daily living. And based on their relationship with God, they will come out and find themselves in a place of peace, joy.
Yeah.
And they're able to count it all joy if they go through trials and tribulation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had 90 seconds.
Okay.
Our time is running out. So until next Sabbath, because God calls the seventh day the Sabbath.
Yeah, rest.
And not one of those created was those days that was named after a Roman or Greek god.
Right.
So.
Right. Got
so
it.
Now.
Okay.
Forth in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching and preaching the word.
Yes.
And I didn't mean it in terms of the Trinity, the way that, because Trinity is not biblical. You will not find it anywhere in the Bible.
Right.
Trinity is a man concept that was created so man could understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the different roles, because Jesus said that he had to go, so he was going to send a comforter, and he sent the comforter.
Yes.
Jesus said that he was he was the Son of God. God said that he Jesus was his beloved son in whom he was well pleased.
Yes.
Jesus mm-hmm. referred to God as the Father. So mm-hmm. What I see now is, and I challenge people to look it up for themselves, what I see God doing now is revealing the truth to his people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So next week, same time, the topic probably is going to be the same, living in the present. But
okay. It
will, because that's what we're going to have to learn how to do and quit worrying about dying and going to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Because mm-hmm. if we live in the present according to the word, what did Timothy say? Paul told Timothy that Jesus is going to judge.
Mm-hmm.
He will judge the living and the dead. And
the
whatever
dead,
is
right?
written in the book
mm-hmm.
is what's going to be used to determine
mm-hmm.
where we wind up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
So long. You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
All right. So.